Could the U.S. get back to pre-pandemic economic growth in just a few months? I'm David Brancaccio. The NASDAQ Composite Index yesterday ended down 10% from a recent high, meaning, here's the euphemism used, it is a correction for tech stocks. The drop of 2.4% yesterday has been more than reversed in early trading today. That index is up 2.7% now, with the big droopy stocks from yesterday, such as Apple, Netflix, and Facebook, surging this morning. The Dow at the moment up 168 points, 0.5%. The S&P is up 1.3%. The Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development today calculated that the world economy will grow by a brisk 5.6% this year, and that the new U.S. stimulus, if approved in Washington, could add 3 or 4% to economic output in its first year. Jeffrey Cleveland is the chief economist at Payton & Riegel in Los Angeles. Welcome.
Good morning, David.
Well, this club of richer nations based in Paris thinks the U.S. could be the standout economy here.
Some point during mid-year, U.S. economic output is expected to reach or meet the pre-virus level of output. So we'll make up for lost ground, lost time, which is great news for the U.S.
Great news for the U.S. Our interest rates, you know, could trend up in that kind of environment. The Federal Reserve chair not so concerned about that, but that could switch things up as far as the global economy is concerned, because our interest rates might be more attractive to global investors than other places like emerging markets.
As the U.S. recovers to pre-virus levels, the OECD expects that many of the other countries on Earth will still remain well below pre-virus levels. And so that will be a gap that needs to be made up in 2022. And so I think that does mean higher U.S. interest rates relative to the rest of the world. Keep in mind, higher interest rates in the U.S. in and of themselves, not a terrible situation. I think that's what the Fed chair would tell you if higher interest rates happen for the right reasons. And a right reason, in my view, is better growth.
The chief economist at Payton & Riegel, Jeffrey Cleveland in Los Angeles, thank you so much.
Have a great week.
The House will likely vote this week on President Biden's $1.9 trillion pandemic relief package. A key focus is helping lower-income Americans, and there's new data about how this should reduce poverty. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
According to the Tax Policy Center, the bill would give Americans who make the least money a 20% boost in income after taxes. And to compare, Americans as a whole would get about a 4% boost. Also, Columbia University estimates that the bill will cut the child poverty rate in half. And all of that is intentional. One of the defining features of this recession is how uneven it's been. Many people have kept their jobs, they're working remotely, and financially, they're doing okay. Whereas the people who've been hit the hardest are low income, often with in-person jobs. So the bill targets the help to those groups by expanding things like the child tax credit, for instance, which, it's worth noting, would be a temporary change. It would have to be renewed by Congress after a year. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Today, vaccine manufacturers around the world are meeting to discuss a looming problem in the chain of things that have to come together to get vaccines made and distributed. The problem is not enough raw materials and supplies to go around. Among the countries accused of hoarding these items, the United States, as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
To speed up vaccine making, the Biden administration has invoked what's called the Defense Production Act. That lets the government cut to the front of the customer line for critical items made by American companies. Simon Evenet is trade economist at the University of St. Gallen in Switzerland.
This essentially enables the U.S. government to tell a supplier to ship the goods, in this case to Johnson & Johnson, And those supplies, which were potentially destined to another customer, are of course then diverted.
Unhappy customers bumped back in the queue include international vaccine makers. The Serum Institute of India has contracts to make the AstraZeneca and Novavax vaccines. Institute CEO Adar Poonawalla said at a panel Thursday that there's a shortage of American raw materials.
There are a lot of bags and filters and critical items that manufacturers need. Now, I'll give you an example. The Novavax vaccine need these items from the U.S.
Items, he says, the Biden administration is hoarding. We asked the White House for comment, but didn't hear back before our deadline. And as the whole world ramps up vaccine making, economist Evenet warns that key ingredients could run out.
Unless production of what's called the filling stage, as well as the syringes, unless this all scales up too, there's a potential for a problem.
You might think these are cheap, simple things, needles, bags, filters, and you'd be right. But until now, there's been no business case to build a factory to crank them out, says Krishna Udayakumar at the Duke Global Health Institute.
There's no market and there's no margin that will allow capacity to be built up over time. So we really have to think about investing in building that capacity.
He says it's the same situation as PPE and ventilators at the start of the pandemic. A surge in world demand, not enough to go around, and countries wanting to keep supplies at home. Still, he defends the Biden administration's decision to do that. It's helping vaccine maker Pfizer produce 2 billion doses by year's end.
That certainly is not just for the U.S., right? So that's several times what the U.S. could use. And so our ability to ramp up production will allow many other countries to also access those vaccines.
Still, he says until vaccines are shared around the world, global trade and global travel won't be able to open up. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Our ongoing focus is called Fast Track, the grand challenge of vaccinating the world against COVID. The coverage is accumulating. Marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.